6:50 a.m. We have on the Newsmaker line our good friend David Fowler, former state senator, now the head of the Family Action Council of Tennessee. We're talking about this marriage bill. I guess in the House, it's called Bill 233. It's now in the Senate, and it's up for a committee today. You're talking about what the bill accomplishes. If you can specify exactly what the bill does and then what the criticism of the bill has been, David.
Well, what the bill does is, one, it does not change the license statutes at all. So whoever wants to get a government-licensed marriage can get one. But it says essentially that a man and a woman who are of age 18 or older and competent to enter into contracts, that's a fundamental precept of common law. You have to be competent to enter into any kind of contract, can exchange a marital vow. They don't have to do it in front of a preacher. They can do it in front of their friends. They can do it down at the courthouse, I guess, if they want to. But having made the promise to take each other as husband and wife, the promise, not a government permission slip, is deemed to create the marriage. Then to help prove the marriage later down the road, the government authorizes the parties to go to the courthouse, provide a photo ID, sign a document that says we've taken each other as husband and wife, here's what we did, when we did it, collect all the data so we make sure that, you know, whoever it is hadn't gotten married before or isn't still married. And then you file that as a sworn statement that you are husband and wife. So if you just picture the deed system we use, people don't have to get permission to sell their house. People don't have to get permission to buy a house. We assume they're competent to do so until a court or somebody objects, and we go to court and say they didn't. They sign a real estate agreement. The real estate agreement is actually the agreement. The deed is the thing people file to help prove that I actually bought Michael's house and he sold it to me, so that 30 years later I can sell it without somebody saying I need to have Michael's signature on it. So it's the exact same process we've used for 100 years and longer with deeds to property. And in essence, the bill is saying marriage doesn't come from the government statutes. That's what the Supreme Court said in 2015. Marriage comes from government permission slips. And so if the government is going to create marriage, it has to create it and define it as any two people. Someday it'll soon be any three people, or who knows what the Supreme Court will say. And so Tennessee is saying, well, that may be true of licenses, but that's not the real truth about marriage. Marriage didn't exist because the government exists, and marriage doesn't exist between a man and a woman, at least, because the government gave them a permission slip. Now, the objection has been that, the first objection was, we're going to have child marriages. Well, that's plainly false because, one, at common law, being underage was considered a legal disability to even form in a contract. Most people don't know that, and I should have put that in the bill, but I assumed we'd have some people that would know what the common law was, or they would listen, or they would care, but they didn't. And so we now added that you have to be 18. And the common law also prohibited contracts against public policy, which is usually found in the Constitution or statutes. And the statutes governing marriage already require you be 18. So that was the first objection. So we solved that one by saying, okay, you have to be 18. But then we heard these objections the other day that, well, gosh, the government hasn't sanctioned this contract. So therefore, the people will not recognize this certificate as having any legal effect. Now, as one of my law professor's friends said when he said that's an incoherent statement. When you pass a statute that says this record can be used as proof of a marriage, to then say the courts will not treat it as proof of a marriage is to say courts will not obey the statutes we pass. So why pass any statutes? That's an incoherent, intelligible, contradictory argument that makes the legislature useless. The second argument that I heard was that, well, without this license, you won't have any enforceable agreement between a husband and wife. And that's what I was trying to get to before the break, is that that's nonsense, because the person who makes that argument doesn't understand they enter into private, contractual, common law arrangements every day that they know and assume the courts will enforce. When I take on, if you were to pay me, Michael, to say, look, I'll pay you $100 a month to cover the legislature, that's a private common law contract. I've not been licensed by the state to enter into any contracts, nor licensed to enter into any contracts for publication or news reporting. And you've not actually been authorized to do it either. So to sit here and say that when a husband says, I will make certain promises to you in the nature of being a husband and all that entails, and the wife says, and I'll take you as my husband and wife, they're saying those promises that create duties and those duties create rights, well, nobody would enforce those because the government hasn't licensed them to enter into that contract. And the person who says that, the lawyer who says that, doesn't understand that he actually enters into a common law private contract with every one of his clients. He will do no legal work until the client signs an agreement hiring him and stipulating the promises and the duties of the respective parties. His client, the lawyer's client, has never been licensed by the government to enter into any contract, let alone competent, judged by the state, to enter into a complicated legal document for legal services. But I'll guarantee you the attorney who made that argument would expect that contract to be enforced if his client doesn't pay him. Now, why would a Republican and a lawyer argue that unless the state has sanctioned a marital contract, its promises are void and unenforceable, but yet the court will enforce the common law private employment agreement between him and his client?
David, we have 1 minute left. Where does the bill stand in the Senate? What's the likelihood of passage, and what will happen if it fails?
Well, let you in on a little secret. Because people have not understood it, and many have not tried to understand it, many have talked about it without reading it, and bought the news stories about it without applying more critical thinking, it's dead. But we'll be back next year, and I think I've learned a valuable lesson here that a lot of people need to learn a lot about the common law, which was the foundation for our Constitution.
And on that note, David Fowler, we'll invite you back when it comes back next year. Thanks for joining us, David Fowler.
Thanks.
This is the Tennessee Star Report. We'll be back with Crom Carmichael after the news. And Beth Harwell, by the way. This is the Tennessee Star Report.